16, Shamarani Devi Badger. Tadavaktaya namo namah. Yam pravrajanta manupetam apetam krityam. Dvaipayano virahaka taduvajuhava. Putreti tanmayataya taravobhanedos. Tam sarvabhutaridayam. Muni mana tosmi bhaktya vina aparada lakshai shivtasya kamari tarangamari kripamaitvam sharanam prapadyam vrinde namaste sharanaravindam. Tavaivasmi, tavaivasmi, na jivami tam vina, iti vidyaya radhe, tam nayamam charanantike. First I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Diksha Gurudev. Om Vishnupad Nityalila Pravishta Om Vishnupad Asto Tirasata Sri Srimad Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Shiksha Gurudev. Om Vishnupad Asto Tirasata Sri Srimad Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj. To all of our disciplic succession and all the assembled devotees. So as you know, Srila Gurudev is spot discussing Sri Sanatan Shiksha, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings to Srila Sanatan Goswami, and through him teaching us. So he's covering some verses, skipping, covering, skipping. So in chapter 22, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is discussing the association of pure devotees and also the regulative principles of Vaidhi Bhakti. And then he discusses what is Raganuga Bhakti, and then Bhava Bhakti, and then he's beginning to discuss what is Prema Bhakti. Where should we talk? Where should we read from? We could read from chapter 22. It's all like, as Prabhupada said about his books, my books are like a gingerbread man. Anywhere you bite it, it's sweet. And Srila Gurudev also said that about Krishna in relation to that discussion of Advaitin Paritattva, that Krishna is the one without a second, absolute truth. One of the ways that he's one and not different, nothing's different from him, is Svagatiya Ved. This challenge that, well, Krishna's different limbs of his body are all different, so how can you say he's one? There's already difference. So then Gurudev said he's like a gingerbread man. Every part of his, every limb of his body can act for any other limb, and it's equally sweet. Last night Gurudev was discussing the qualities of the pure devotee and the three different classifications of devotees. A person advanced in devotional service sees everything sees within everything the soul of all souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he sees the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the cause of all causes, and understands that all things are situated in him. Now this is the person in advanced devotional service. And most of us are not in that stage, but are in the third class of division, that is Kanista Adhikari. So on one hand, we can take this verse as an appreciation for what our Gurudev is and other such pure devotees. But how also we can apply this verse in our life is that we can't do it by realization, but we can do it by our intelligence and our mind, engaging our intelligence and mind in practicing this. Just like one of the devotees, Garangi Didi, just asked me regarding book distribution, how to overcome the fear due to lack of confidence when preaching and desiring to give books to other people. How can we become free from fear? So we're not on the platform of seeing the Super Soul or the Supreme Lord in everyone's heart, but we can make a mental picture. We always have mental pictures, don't we? Always we have mental pictures of things and we're imagining things. Like when we look out, there's the physical thing that we see according to our sense perception. But then our mind makes something else out of it, and also we're thinking of other things. Like I'm talking to Damodar Prabhu, but I'm thinking of 12 different places that I've just been to, or places that I have to go to, or people that I've just talked to, somebody that I'm angry at, or somebody just that just praised me, and I'm feeling a little intoxicated about that. So when he's saying something, I go, oh, what was that? So we're doing it anyway. And why are we doing it? Because we're habituated to do it since the beginning of time, out of control. Just like a wild tiger, it takes a long time for the trainer, like in the circus, it takes a long time for the trainer to train that lion or tiger to jump through the hoop and to put his head in the mouth. So everything comes by training. So similarly, to avoid fear, number one meditation is to see in the mind's eye, in the intelligence eye, the form of Krishna, or we prefer the form of Radha and Krishna. We can think of that form and we can think of all of their associates inside the body of the person, because that's the actual reality. And then what does everything else become? It just becomes, as Prabhupada and Gurudev are fond of describing it, just some bodily hairs, some skin. Just imagine bodily hairs separate, and skin separate, and bones separate. The only thing that's keeping it together is the soul and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the intellectual meditation, and there's a saying, habit is the second nature. Whatever we practice, or as Prabhupada used to say, this body is so made that anything we practice, it becomes second nature or easy. So that was text 72 of chapter 22. Now we're continuing. An intermediate second class devotee shows love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's friendly to all devotees. He's merciful to the neophytes and to the ignorant people. The intermediate devotee neglects those who are envious of devotional service. So perhaps some of us are on the intermediate platform. I think, at least for myself, I'm on the trying to become on the third class platform. But our Gurudev, Shiksha and Diksha Gurudev, repeatedly tell us we should try to act like Majjhima Adhikaris. So to offer some prasadam to somebody is an act of love. We don't have love for Krishna, but we still offer him the bhoga as though we have the love. So we act on the platform of reality. As Prabhupada used to say, in Krishna consciousness, first you sit on the judge's bench and then the qualifications come. Whereas in the material world, first you have to go through all the schooling and the PhD and the internship of being a judge and then a lawyer and then a judge. Whereas in Krishna consciousness, first sit on the judge's bench and then the qualifications come. So acting as though we love God, friendly to all devotees in three ways. Those who, by our conception, I could be totally wrong, but by our conception, that's all we can judge on, who's superior to me, I'm friendly but serve them, friendly in service to them, carrying out their desires, instructions, and those who are, I consider, equal to me, I'm friendly and sharing, and those who are subordinate to me, I'm friendly and instructing and guiding. And those who are, for those who are neophytes just coming, and those who are ignorant, they haven't come yet. And they haven't invited us to come to them, but we're going anyway. Showing mercy. It's stated in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 16, the chapter of the divine and demoniac natures, that if one does not tell others about Krishna, then he's committing violence. So to be non-violent, actually, one has to tell others about Krishna, because we know that without Krishna consciousness, the future is very dim. They're going to become amoebas, aardvarks, camels, bacteria. Just look at all the sins that are going on, intentionally and unintentionally. So, being very merciful to neophytes, like Gurudev said, oh, you're so intelligent. You're such a good devotee. Here, have a lavu. You're so intelligent. I think you're ready for diksha or Harinam initiation. And the intermediate devotee neglects those who are envious of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada explained it, that it takes so much energy to try to work with somebody who's actually against. That same energy, powerful energy, can be put into convincing so many innocent people. So it's not a matter of want to or don't want to, but it's our duty to show mercy to the neophytes and ignorant. It's not that we just automatically jump from Kanistha to Majjhima, but it also comes by practice. But Majjhima is not an intellectual thing, it's a faith of the heart. So therefore, when Hari Guru and Vaishnava see that we're practicing just means we want it. I want the real thing. Then they give it. Then I really feel mercy. A prakriti or materialistic devotee does not purposely study the shastra and try to understand the actual standard of pure devotional service. Consequently, because we're not serious about studying the shastra and understanding the standard of pure devotional service, consequently he does not show proper respect to advanced devotees. He may, however, follow the regulative principles that he's learned from his spiritual master or from his family who worships the deity. So he is to be considered on a materialistic platform, although he's trying to advance in devotional service. Such a person is a bhakta praya. Praya means almost, or something like. Or a neophyte devotee. Or bhakti abhas. Just like Gurudev said the other night, most of us are not actually doing sadhan bhakti, but we're doing sadhan abhas. Because real sadhan bhakti is when all the activities of devotional service, the nine processes of devotional service performed by the body, mind, and words, are executed with the purpose of developing bhava bhakti. So now we're doing bhakti abhas, that is a shadow or a semblance of bhakti. But whatever it is, we have to start somewhere. So we may be doing the Madhyama Adhikari Abhas of being merciful, trying to be merciful, giving prasadam, even passing out prasadam to the animals. Even just like we say that we never throw out prasadam, but what are you going to do with leftovers? And there's nobody, no human to take them. I remember when we first opened the Boston Temple, we used to take the Sunday feast after all the devotees and guests had. We made small paper plates and took them door to door to all the neighbors. But otherwise, even whatever we're throwing out, though the physical act of throwing out is there, the mentality is not that I'm throwing out. My mentality is that I'm doing prasad distribution to all the insects and bacteria. So I offer the prasadam in the bin or whatever in a very respectful way, respectful to prasadam and respectful to all my brothers and sisters who are going to get. Because one of the six loving exchanges is to give prasadam, take prasadam and give prasadam. A Vaishnava is one, this is number 75. A Vaishnava is one who has developed all good transcendental qualities. All the good qualities of Krishna gradually appear in the devotee. In one who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna, all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods are consistently manifest. However, he who has no devotion to the Supreme Lord has no good qualities because he's engaged in mental concoction in material existence. This is all spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is he? The source of innumerable universes, the source of innumerable Vaikuntha planets, Krishna Loka, Radha and Krishna combined, who's engaged in unlimited pastimes. He's speaking these verses. Sometimes he's himself is speaking from his own heart, and sometimes he's speaking from his own heart as he manifested the Srimad Bhagavatam. And here he's quoting from Srimad Bhagavatam. So here's the qualities Gurudev mentioned last night. Devotees are always merciful. Here's an example of mercy that he gave in Australia, his last Vyas Puja Day, Vyas Puja celebration. Merciful, there was a Vaishnava who was going door to door. And there was a very mean, nasty lady in the house. And she saw him, the devotee, and he was begging alms and, of course, giving Harikata. So she was so aggravated. She said, if you come here one more time, I'm going to beat you with a stick. So he came the next day, and she was cleaning a very filthy, grimy floor with a dirty, oily rag. So she took the dirty, oily rag and just threw it at him. So then when it fell on the floor, he picked it up, brought it home, scrubbed it with the best soap till it was spotlessly clean, ripped it into little pieces, made ghee wicks out of them, and with the ghee and the twirls, and then offered them an aarti. The next day, he went back to her And she was so happy to see him because he gave her the Sukritis. This is mercy. Another example of mercy that Gurudev gave is there were two friends, two sages, devotees, and they were by the riverside to drink water. So one of them picked up it was a scorpion who was flapping and drowning. So he picked him up, and the scorpion bit him and jumped back into the water to drown. And then that happened a few times. So then the friend said, "Why are you doing that? He keeps biting you and making your hand jerk and then going back into the water. Why do you keep picking up him up again?" He said, "Oh, he's my guru. He's teaching me that one should never give up one's nature. Despite the fact that I'm so kind to him, he's biting me. That's his nature, because he's a scorpion. You know, if one has heavy scorpion in his charts, he's going to be nasty, like myself. So why should I give up my nature as a saintly brahmana just because he's biting me? So he's my guru." So that's another example of mercy. So sometimes we're afraid to preach and meet new people and give out prasadam and mercy because we're thinking, well, what if they? So there's no question of that because, number one, I'm meditating that Krishna is in every atom of theirs. Radha and Krishna in the Sevakunj is in their hearts. And their body is just skin, bones, some hairs, a couple of eyeballs, and what's keeping it together is the soul and the Supreme Lord. Dust thou wert, dust thou beest without the soul. The sari looks like it's kind of a person because it's on me, but when I take it off, it's just a flat blob of white cloth. So a devotee is merciful, humble, truthful, equal to all. That means he's equal to friends, he's equal to enemies, he's equal to strangers. He doesn't think of the devotees are my friends, the devotees are my family members, and my family members are my family members. He doesn't make a distinction like that. Prabhupada wrote me a letter that preaching means to increase our family members. So equal to all. If I'm kind and I give prasadam to my family members, then I should be kind and give prasadam to my larger family. Faultless, magnanimous, mild and clean. They're without material possessions. But we have material possessions. Does that mean that we can't be a devotee? No. Everything we possess, we think belongs to our Gurudev. Gurudev said, you say, "Oh Gurudev, I've given you everything, but I'm holding on to the key." So they're without material possessions. They're akinchan and niskinchan. That is, they have no material possessions. Why? Because everything that looks like it belongs to them, they know belongs to their Gurudev, and they use it in their Gurudev service. You'll find that several businessmen of Gurudev's disciples will tell you that Gurudev has said to them, "This is my business." And when Gurudev came into my room once when I was living at Sri Rupsanath and Gaudiya Math, he came into the room and he said, "This is my room." In other words, don't do any nonsense. It's my room, so you should use it in my service. They're peaceful, surrendered to Krishna, and desireless. They're indifferent to material acquisitions and are fixed in devotional service. They completely control the six bad qualities of lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, and envy. They eat only as much as required, and they are not inebriated. They are respectful, grave, compassionate, and without false prestige. They are friendly, poetic, expert, and silent. I can't figure out how to do this, so I'm not going to do it. I know my Gurudev wants me to do it, but I can't figure it out, so I'm not going to do it. So I'm not personally expert at something, but that doesn't mean I shouldn't think of the people who are experts, who can help me do it, because my Gurudev wants me to do it. And silent. Silent means silent in nonsense. Devotees are always tolerant. One of Prabhupada's disciples asked him, how many times should we be forgiving to someone? So Prabhupada said, you don't stop, you just keep being forgiving. Forbearing means tolerating all kinds of offenses and insults to myself, but still helping. And very merciful, just like a tree. Right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said we should all be like a tree. That is, even if the woodcutter or the woodpecker comes to cut down the tree offers its shade, its fruits, its flowers, and so on. And very merciful. They are well-wishers of every living entity. But I can't be a well-wisher. That's artificial. I do have anger. I really don't care if people are going to hell or not, because I have my own concerns and my own problems. I can't get into the world's problems. That's the chit-chat of the mind trying to cheat us. It's the static on the TV. And so then I just fiddle around with the antennas and the knob, and then I get my picture. And what does the fiddling around with the antennas and the knob mean? I forget about what my mind is saying, and I put in what my Gurudev has said, and just keep putting it in. If you're in an atmosphere, the whole atmosphere is made of ink. And I don't want to drink ink, I want to drink milk. So I pour the ink out. And what happens? It comes right back in because the whole atmosphere is ink. Keep pouring it out, but it keeps being filled up with ink. So what to do? I forcibly pour in the milk and keep forcing. And then finally there's no more room for the ink. So I force in these positive thoughts. I'm supposed to be equal to all. I'm supposed to be merciful. I'm supposed to be forbearing. I'm supposed to be, what else? Huh? What?
Respectful.
Supposed to be respectful. Huh? Peaceful. I'm supposed to not become angry. I'm supposed to be friendly to all living entities. I'm supposed to be equal to all. And just keep going. As Gurudev says in his Hindi lectures in Hindi, karte, karte, karte. Just keep doing it. And by doing it, that's not going to make it happen. But when we keep doing it, well, first of all, it will make it happen because, number one, habit is the second nature. Whatever one becomes habituated in, that becomes the nature. And secondly, when Hari Guru and Vaishnavas see that we want to be like that, and we're forcing, then they make it a reality. As Gurudev was explaining yesterday, from the heart of the Ragatmika Bhakta, that reality comes in the heart, and that becomes our reality. We can't get it, but it comes down and it's given. Then the root cause of devotional service to Lord Krishna is association with advanced devotees. Even when one's dormant love of Krishna awakens, association with devotees is the most essential. That is, when I'm beginning, it's the most essential, and when I enter into Bhava Bhakti or Prema Bhakti, it's still the most essential. Then I have to associate with the same guru, but maybe now in his gopi form, and get further training. All devotees, this is all Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all you who are free from sins, Let me inquire from you about that which is supremely auspicious for all living entities. Association with a pure devotee for even half a moment in this material world is the greatest treasure for human society. So if I want to give anything to anyone, suppose I'm invited to a wedding or a bar mitzvah or anything, and I want, you have to bring presents. So what are the best presents?
Your paintings.
The best presents are the paintings, the best presents are the books, the best presents are the DVDs and CDs. The best present is to put them on the Hare Katha mailing list. And for those of you who don't know, I think you all know about the Hare Katha mailing list, but I think most of you aren't aware, and that's why you're not sending us names of all the new people that you meet, is because you think they're going to get all kinds of advanced lectures right off the bat and be bewildered. So you'll be happy to know that we have 5 or 6 introductory lectures of Srila Gurudev. An interview with this giggly young reporter in Perth, 1998, and an interview with this like 85-year-old lady in 96, some lectures that he gave to brand new people in Perth, and therefore it's called Whom Can We Trust? We can't trust the senses, we can't trust our mind. Very, very basic lectures. And, the way of love and secrets of the undiscovered self, which we have all on the computer. So they get 5 or 6 very basic lectures. So that's their bhakti program. And then they get transferred. Only then do they get transferred to the regular mailing list. So if you send names, even if you forget them, suppose you meet somebody in the street who seems interested, or you go to a wedding and your family, and the person is a little bit interested, you get their mailing email address, even if you forget them, Hare Katha will never forget them.
How to send it?
Send it to me or Vasanti. Send it or hand it.
I have the video of that Perth interview online, so if you want, you can add the link on that one.
Okay. Oh, that's a good idea. That's a very good idea. She's really cute. She's wearing this mini skirt. Like, this is her day, and he's just laughing at her and really answering her questions. So, you'll give us the link later?
Yeah, all you need to do is put the link in that email, and then that can
Okay. Do we have the link?
I'll send it.
Okay, great. The spiritually powerful message of Godhead can be properly discussed. Okay, here's a challenge. The spiritually powerful message of Godhead can be properly discussed only in a society of devotees. And it is greatly pleasing to hear in that association. If one hears from devotees, the way of transcendental experience quickly opens. And gradually, one attains firm faith that in due course develops into attraction and devotion. Okay, so here's the challenge. I'm challenging this. I'm playing the devil's advocate. So, if the best thing is to hear in the association of devotees, then why should I, who's just a neophyte devotee and very weak, go out of the association of devotees to a college or a school to make a club and set up a booth there with Gurudev's books and maybe a computer there of a CD of bhajans playing. And I myself give classes when it's better for me just to hear from other people. So that's a good question, isn't it? So the answer is, suppose I go to the Society of Devotees, like I come to Badger, and I'm in the Society of the Pure Devotee, and I go to his class, and I'm hearing, And what is he saying? He's saying, I want every living entity to get my books. I want this whole book table to become empty. And on the first night, he said, Sanatana Goswami and my Gurudev, they never considered any weather. Oh, it's too hot. In the hottest days, in the coldest days, they went out to preach. Even to get one penny, one rupee from somebody in their box, my Gurudev. And he would give them Hare Katha. So, just like, suppose I tell Rangadevi, Rangadevi, could you please get me a glass of water? And she's sitting there. Rangadevi, could you please get me a glass of water? I'm about to die of thirst. Why didn't you get the water? I'm just about to die now. I'm hearing in the association. That was Prabhupada's, said that. I think Guru did too. Okay, here's another challenge. A Vaishnava should always avoid the association of ordinary people. Common people are very much materially attached, especially to the opposite sex. Vaishnavas should also avoid the company of those who are not devotees of the Lord. Now, doesn't that contradict everything that we've just been talking about? No, it doesn't. Why? Because, as Prabhupada says, you're not going to get their association. You're going to give your association. Well, my association isn't worth giving. So you're not going to give your association, you're going to give your Gurudev's association. And you're going to give the association of the entire Guru Parampara. So therefore, there's no harm. I remember a few years ago in Navadvip, generally in Navadvip, that's when Gurudev gives his sannyasa initiations. And what he used to do in the beginning every year for the first 3 or so years, he would gather together with all the Western devotees and say, I'm thinking of giving sannyas to so-and-so or these few so-and-sos. What do you think? And then the devotees would give their opinions, and then, you know, he would do whatever he wanted anyway. So in one of those meetings, Sripad Ashra Maharaj, who's of course sannyasi, he said to Gurudev, is it better for the sannyasis to just stay with you and travel with you rather than to go off on their own into the wild blue yonder and have to face so many materialists and thus become weak? So Gurudev said, you don't understand. When you go to preach and help others, me and the whole disciplic succession are giving you power. Like, how many devotees have said, I couldn't believe that I said that to the person. It definitely didn't come from me. Next verse. By association with worldly people, one becomes devoid of truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, gravity, spiritual intelligence, shyness. Okay, so here's the thing of not associating with them. This is what happens when we don't preach. Oh, I can't preach. I'm not qualified. So let me just, you know, be myself at work. Let me just be myself in the park. Let me just be myself with the family members. Okay, here's what happens. By the false conception of being myself. False conception of the self. By associating with worldly people, one becomes devoid of truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, gravity, spiritual intelligence, shyness, austerity, fame, forgiveness, control of the mind, control of the senses, fortune, and all opportunities. One should not at any time associate with a coarse fool who is bereft of the knowledge of self-realization and who is more than a toy animal in the hands of the opposite sex. It says woman, but both Prabhupada and Gurudev say in this connection that for man, woman is woman, and for woman, man is woman. Because the word is stri in Sanskrit, which means one who expands the field for material enjoyment. The illusion and bondage that accrue to a man from attachment to any other object is not as complete as that resulting from the association of woman or the opposite sex, or men too much attached to women or the opposite sex. So preaching gives us that strength. And also, suppose I go to a wedding, suppose I go to a bar mitzvah, what's my duty there? I have to protect myself. And if I'm actually considering them people that I have a duty to and also something to, what do I owe them? I owe them. I feel gratitude. I feel responsibility. So what do I owe them? I owe them a book. I owe them a CD. I owe them getting their name for the Harikatha mailing list. I owe them an invitation to Gurudev's festival. I owe them a picture. Because devotees also have a fear about the paintings of giving them out to karmis. Because the karmis, they say, may insult and just, you know, look at the picture in the wrong, you know, just for material enjoyment. Like, what? So we asked Gurudev about that, and he said, it doesn't matter because they're going to get Sukritis. And then they may ask the person, what is this? Which gives the devotee the opportunity to speak. Plus, just by looking and looking and looking, their eyes get Sukritis, and one day they'll meet the guru. So we can give thousands and tens of thousands of that out also. Gurudev said he also wants every living entity to have them. In Govardhan, he said that. A picture. The pictures, his pictures, which are come out of his heart. When he was asking me to first paint the Seva Kunj, the way he asked me was that he said, can you paint my heart? Now more about association. It is better to accept the miseries of being encaged within bars and surrounded by burning flames. I'll repeat that. It's better to be encaged in bars or encaged in a burning fire or surrounded by burning flames than to associate with those who are bereft of Krishna consciousness. Such association is a very great hardship. How to avoid it? Preach. One should not even see those who are bereft of devotional service in Krishna consciousness and who are therefore devoid of pious activities. So how should we see? We can't see them. So we have to see their souls. We have to see Krishna in their heart. We can also see, I know that you've all seen the ISKCON paintings of the baby to the youth to the adult to the old age and then a death and then he gets in another baby's womb. So we can picture, you're looking at a person, but you're not seeing just that time span. You're practicing being Trikalagya. You're seeing them past, present, and future. Past from the previous life, the birth, in the womb where they have to get bitten by the germs and worms in the mother's abdomen. And then they come out half dead or dead, upside down, covered by blood. And then the doctor has to hit them to give them some life. And then he's in a crib full of insects and germs and he's crying for his mother's breast milk. And she's thinking that he has some disease, so she gives him some bitter-tasting medicine instead. And then, you know, keep going. Then he's on his deathbed, and all the relatives are surrounding him and weeping. And then he's looking at them, and then what he's seeing is not only them, but he's seeing the constables of Yamaraj coming for him. And then he's dragged on this molten hot ground and dragged through these very condensed, dense trees full of thorns, and he's dragged all through them. And then he gets put on top of a mountain, and then he gets thrown to the bottom of the mountain, and then he breaks into a lot of pieces, and then they put him together, and then they bring him back on them, and there's tons of hellish planets like that, which every single person there is going to. So we're not seeing just the body, but we're seeing the whole picture and what they really are. Their soul. You can see a coward boy, you can see a gopi. We don't know what they are, only Gurudev knows. But it gives us strength. And then we become amazed how receptive they are. Somebody once told me that many devotees are saying that, you know, times have changed. It's not like it was in Prabhupada's time, when it was so easy to preach and make devotees and start clubs and colleges and open preaching centers. Things are different now. So I asked Gurudev personally in Houston, and several of the devotees from the Houston Mutt were there, and first Gurudev was the spokesman. He said, no, it's not different. And then all the devotees started talking, no, we preach to so many people, we're bringing so many people, we're distributing so many books. So it's not at all the case. The only thing that's different is we're different. Because in Prabhupada's time, we never thought whether we're qualified or not qualified. We just thought, in fact, in the middle of his lecture, we wanted to just jump up and tell everybody. So we just waited till the end of the class. And so we never thought, am I qualified for going on TV and talking about Prabhupada and Krishna consciousness? The thought never entered our mind. Always, Prabhupada's pioneer, everybody's going to hell. And as Gurudev said on so many occasions, I want this to be exactly as it was in Prabhupada's time. Once at the Miami airport, after his festival there a few years ago, I said to him, you know, in the usual, he would sit in the lobby, and he would sit on a chair, and all the devotees would sit on, you know, those string of chairs, and some devotees would sit on a string of chairs next to him, and others would sit on the floor around him. So I said, you know, in Prabhupada's time, he would say, go out and preach and distribute books in so many different ways. Not that I have to go to somebody and say, excuse me, sir, are you from L.A. or out of town? Well, great, you got one then, here. There's so many ways and so many varieties. Prabhupada used to tell us to use our material, our American genius, to figure out ways. So, what was I saying?
Gurudev sitting in the airport.
All right, so Gurudev sitting here. So I said, so then we didn't even think. We opened up clubs, we went on the radio, we went on TV. We made students' clubs. We, even when I was 19, 20, and what did I know in comparison to Harvard University students? We used to go to Harvard and give classes on... Prabhupada was supposed to come, but he couldn't get a visa to come, so then we gave the program. We talked about Karanadakshai Vishnu, Mahavishnu to the Harvard students, something that they couldn't have imagined. Did I not say that? So, what was the purpose of that?
Because Gurudev, you were saying that it's different.
Someone said
it's
different.
Right.
So Gurudev said, I wanted the same as it was then. He said, there's so many. Right, so I asked him that in Prabhupada's time, we never hesitated. But when you tell your young ladies, so many times you meet your young lady disciples around the world. The reason I was saying it, because me and one of the young ladies that he'd been saying it to, she was very hesitant. But if I go out and preach, what if, you know, how am I going to maintain myself? So she was sitting together. I said, okay, I'll ask Gurudev. So I said, when you tell your young girls now, go out and preach. You can keep the money for going to Kartik or whatever you needed for, keep the profits, that is, you know, pay your book bills or get sponsors. And if you want sponsors, you can go to the book table later. Radha will arrange sponsors for you or help you to arrange it. And if you preach and distribute books, Krishna will send so much money that you won't know what to do with it. God will shower down money. But still, your young ladies are afraid. So what to do? He said, yes, what to do? Let them put on all the bangles, cover their heads, and then he went and the whole thing down over his head, and go in the kitchen. Not that we shouldn't go in the kitchen, because that's also pure devotional service. But not that, not to preach. Yes?
You know, you could say that in Prabhupada's
time... Louder?
Someone could say that in Srila Prabhupada's time, you know, all the devotees, men and women, were living together in the temple, and they were all hearing classes and everything together, and getting fired up together, going out together, and, what's the word, feeding off each other in terms of enthusiasm, you know? But nowadays, maybe there's a gang of masses, but there's not so many, there's some brahmacharis also, ashrams, temples, whatever, but there's not so many like Prabhupada's time, so what would you say?
Very good question. Did everybody hear it?
No.
One thing that she's saying, Charachandra Gadiri is saying, one thing that's different from Prabhupada's times, that we all have to admit, that there were big temples and small temples, and the devotees used to get enthusiastic from each other. And they used to hear classes, give classes on a regular basis. And we don't have that stimulus, that strength. The nature of being young is that you don't stay there, and then you get older, and then you get married, and then you have kids. So most of what Gurudev has come to is the later version of that. And also, even the new people who are coming, they don't have a place, or they're not interested in a place, because they already are fixed in their occupation, or they're poor, or one reason or other, we're all spread out. Right? So that's the question. So I'll give one answer, and then I hope that some devotees can help out and give other responses. In the beginning, when Prabhupada first came, because I joined in 1966 in October, and at that time there was one real temple, one teeny little matchless gift storefront. And, of course, it was always packed when Prabhupada was there, and it was even packed when Prabhupada went to other places. And then there was something a little bit starting in San Francisco. So then Prabhupada would send the devotees to different cities. He sent Rupanuga to Buffalo. He sent Satsvarup to Boston. He sent Jamuna and Mukunda to San Francisco, and they were all by themselves. So what we see in retrospect is temples. But how did it start? It started by individuals all alone in their city with nothing. Sometimes they had to get jobs to maintain their preaching, and sometimes their job was their preaching. Like Rupanuga was really smart. He got a job in college, and then he gave certain classes where everybody in his class became initiated devotee practically. So using the Western genius. Well, then we may say that the devotees in Prabhupada's times mostly didn't have the responsibilities that they have now. Most of them weren't married. And now most everybody, the rare thing was to be married, and the most thing was to be single. Here, the most thing, at this time, the most thing is to be married with kids, and the rare thing is to be single. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I think pretty much that's our sangha. So, Then I'll go back to the beginning of Prabhupada's time, when there were married couples like Nandini, get her name.
Nandurani.
And her husband started a temple with nothing. And they also had a kid. Then there's Malati and Shamsundar, who had a little baby named Saraswati. And when she finally, they would die, or because I'm not asking to imitate, but just to show the determination. They even went into public bathrooms to diaper Saraswati, and then they would bring her back on their Harinam. And then it's established, then a Prabhupada would go all over the world and glorify them. He'd say, my Gurudev, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had sannyasis who went to England and Germany, and they came back and they said, it's not possible, we couldn't do anything. But my householders, I'm sending them, and they are doing so nicely, this is Prabhupada speaking, that there's a big, the London Times did a front page article of them, Krishna chant startles London. So even if there's, and then when Saraswati got to be 5, Prabhupada again went around the world glorifying her, and he'd say she was doing preaching in India, Saraswati, and he'd say, and she would say, don't smoke bidis, or do you know who Krishna is? And they would say no, and she would say, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Prabhupada would say, this is preaching. So if there's a, let's take Rohini Nandan, your godbrother in Delhi. He's a married man with a daughter. And, you know, in India they live in a joint family. So he lives with his sister-in-law and brother-in-law. And they have their daughter and their parents. And he takes every opportunity. He's smart that he takes his other family members, help to support his preaching. They do a little preaching with him, and that frees him more time to every opportunity. Sunday morning, they go to the park with a megaphone and kirtan, and then he gives a class right there, and people just come who they're just hanging out in the park. And he gives a class to them, and then on Tuesday, it's someplace else. And then when I was with him once, he and his students set up a stage in the middle of the street in Delhi, and there were like 400 people came to the program from all the apartments. And there was a big kirtan, everybody was dancing on the stage and giving out prasadam and books. And he has about 500 people as congregation members or initiated devotees of Srila Gurudev. And he's a family man with responsibilities, but he manipulated his whole situation so that he would have time here and there. And he's getting other working people with families and students to become initiated devotees and assist him with his preaching. So it's a matter, more a matter of lack of confidence, of fear, not thinking it's important enough, having other priorities. Not that the times have changed. Would anybody like to add to that? Or would first anybody like to add to that answer, Prabhu?
In 1977, I went to India and Gurudas took us on a tour of Prabhupada.
Everybody here?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Gurudas took us on a tour of Prabhupada's quarters in Radhadamodar, and he was explaining how it was that Srila Prabhupada spent so many years preparing, and then I asked Gurudas, so Srila Prabhupada spent so many years preparing to preach, shouldn't we also prepare to preach like Srila Prabhupada? And Gurudas said when Srila Prabhupada took them there in 1967, he asked the very same question, and Prabhupada said, no, I have empowered you. And so, to the extent that we want to preach, Srila Gurudev will empower us. even if it's only this much, he'll empower us to do that much and more should we desire it.
Let's take, you mentioned the Ganga Matas. So that it wasn't that the Ganga Mata temple just floated in from Goloka Vrindavan with all the girls in it. It started with two ladies who had nothing.
Nothing. He's just gone to Mexico and stuff.
Also with nothing. Yes.
Abdul Maharaj was in Los Angeles in the temple, and Prabhupada, and he said that actually at his time he was in Melbourne, or there was two Australian, and they went. They said, "Here, take this Back to Godhead magazine box and start a temple." And they went to another city and they took the Back to Godhead magazine box and they got on the bus and they.
Can you say that again? Avadhut Maharaj, he was already in the temple.
There was one temple, and so but they wanted another temple in another city that was very popular
oh.
in Australia.
Uh-oh.
So they said, "I think they had two back signals." They had two Back to Godhead boxes, magazine boxes, and they got a bus, I think, and they started to come up. They got a car.
Yes,
I guess, you're talking about times changing. I guess, because I'm not from your era, I mean, the next generation, so I have this romantic idea that it was like the age of Aquarius, the hippies, everything's changing, the world was changing, people wanted this. Whereas today it seems it's different, and I don't know, I think I'm kind of with Charo, it seems like the field is different.
Okay, Radhika, tell your story. She's going to answer your question. She was thinking exactly like you,
mm-hmm.
and everybody is telling her exactly what you're saying. Go ahead. Story how you met the man?
I was interested in book distribution, and the other very wonderful devotees in my mat weren't able to. They were thinking also that times were changing, and I was, had been thinking like that too. But Shyamrani Didi encouraged me, so one time when I was taking the train to work, or coming from work or something, I met one man, and I thought that I shouldn't talk to him, but then...
Louder?
I thought that I shouldn't talk to him, but then another thought came, no, you should, this is your opportunity. So I went with that, and...
I'll add one word to that. It's not only opportunity, but it's duty.
It's my duty,
okay.
Yes. So, because it's violence if I don't, right? So, I didn't know what I would say to him, but I just decided to just breathe and let it happen, because it's not me doing it anyway. And I had brought with me purposefully a copy of Happiness in the Material
Fool's Paradise.
Happiness in a Fool's Paradise, with the prayer that I could meet someone that I could give it to that day. So I don't know a lot of Harikatha or verses or anything. So we just sat there and we were talking about how difficult life is and about suffering. And how we want to become better people, and he was telling me that he liked to read, and I said, "Well, do you like to read about spirituality? That you know, this is something that might help with some of what we were talking about." And he said, "Oh, really?" And he took it, and I actually didn't ask him for any money for it, because we were kind of just making friendship, and he seemed like a poor kind of guy anyway. But I wasn't sure. It was just my, you know, I just went with whatever the flow was with that particular person. So then, the long and the short of it is, he took the book, he promised me he would read it, I gave him, we exchanged emails and phone numbers, and he actually called me, and I said, "Well, what are you thinking of the book? How are you doing with the book?" And he said, "You know, it's really very complex. And, you know, it's very interesting." And I told him, "Well, I'm going into a spiritual retreat, I'll be happy to talk to you more about it." And he wanted to know, what is a spiritual retreat? And we talked a lot back and forth about God and suffering in the world and everything. And on the way here, I got another message from him saying, "I need help with this book. Would you please help me with it when you get back?" So I think that it's possible in this time.
Now, somebody may say the books aren't understandable by the people. So once in a Holland Ram Darshan, one of the Ganga Matas actually told Gurudev that... we only get Jiva Dharmas to distribute. That was a complaint, because they're too hard to understand. Gurudev said, "Yes, distribute, Jiva Dharma. That's good. It's not a bad thing. That's all you get. So she said, but the people can't understand it. So Gurudev said, so explain it to them. Yes, Raghunath Prabhu? Loud?
You said something very significant that about how the times really haven't changed. It's only that we've changed. Because sometimes devotees, even senior devotees, tell me, now in 2008, people, it's not like you cannot make a mod if you will not join like you did in the 70s and 60s. But I think what you said is very significant. In regards to this, like Srila Prabhupada said, that the demigods will be lining up to take birth. So why is it now in 2008 they stopped taking birth there? They're here waiting for us to go out and approach them with the confidence that we are empowered by Guru Deva, Guru Parampara, and they will take.
Thank you. Good. Thank you. Yes?
There's a question.
Okay.
On this topic, that maybe one objection I've heard is that because Srila Gurudev is putting a lot of emphasis on Sadhu Sangha, and every year in India there's two major festivals. So then there's an impetus, like, we want to be able to go to those festivals. So to maintain a preaching center in a Western country and keep it going and have everyone go to those festivals to get that Sadhu Sangha, it's sort of like hard to do both, you know?
So tell me if I'm right. The question is, because Gurudev stresses so much Sadhu Sangha, which we see here in Prabhupada's translation of Chaitanya Charitamrita there, everywhere. And so we want to get to Gurudev's festivals because he's the sadhu. So how can we at the same time not just leave our duty of our preaching center and still at the same time be at Gurudev's festivals? Is that the question?
It's hard to maintain the preaching center, the preaching programs, everything like that, and go to the festivals. And then some devotees may feel, or find, if I just stay in the preaching center, I'm not getting the real benefit. You know, I'm just doing some sort of secondary thing.
Okay, so this, first of all, the question doesn't mean that everybody has to have a preaching center, but he particularly lives in a preaching center. So therefore he's asking from his life's position. So, then what is the story with Bhagwat Maharaj, who's not here? You're not from the preaching center, he is. So Bhagwat Maharaj is from you're not from a preaching center, you're just alone, aren't you?
In Canada, now we have.
You have one? Oh, good. How did that start?
It's just starting.
See, it's starting. So, all right, so the question does apply to you and it applies to Abhiram Prabhu. Abhiram is a member of the Houston Ashram Preaching Center. So, Bhagwat Maharaj, who's in charge of Abhiram Prabhu's preaching center, was talking to Gurudev about it because Houston is so close to Badger. So, Gurudev told him that it's better to stay there and have one or two brahmacharis with you and do the responsibility and keep on with the preaching and everybody else will come. And that means that you'll get the benefit of coming because I'm not limited, he's not limited to his physical presence. He's anywhere that his service is, and Prabhupada used to say the same thing. So it's not that Bhagwat Maharaj has to miss everything. He's the one who organized the Houston Festival, and he'll probably be going to Kartik and probably maybe Navadvip, but to sacrifice something. But that's not the situation with most of the people. Most of the people hardly get to go to one in a year anyway. So do that. And if we're actually preaching, it's not going to be an impediment to our coming to our once or twice a year to Gurudev's festivals. But we're praying always that I want that association. Krishna, please help me. Govardhan, please help me. Vrindadevi, please help me. And then all the arrangements are made. Not that I'll lose out on Gurudev's Sangha, but I'll get that and help others to get that. Because why has Gurudev come from Goloka Vrindavan, from the Kunjas, from there, from exactly there, to this world? Because he wants to get so many flowers to offer to Radha and Krishna. So he said, if you pick them, the buds, the wilted flowers, the sprouts, and give them to me, then I will make them into blossoming flowers to offer them to Radha and Krishna. So he becomes very pleased when the devotee is taking the responsibility. And it's not that you have to miss Gurudev at the same time. It's just a matter of where there's a will, there's a way to do everything. Does that satisfactorily answer the question?
Sharma, did he also, yes, in that, I don't know if the same darshan you're talking about, Gurudev said that two of you should stay in the temple, at least two at a time, while others go to Karthik, Vajra, whatever festival, and you rotate.
Yes, Prabhu? Madam?
I had an objection. I had an objection from one devotee who has been doing Sankirtan for over 20 years. He's a Gurudev disciple, and he said his con books of Srila Prabhupada was made for distribution. You know, when you see Bhagavad Gita, pretty much says, buy me, you know, with the illustrations outside. They say also, when you buy books from BBT, they're much cheaper than the books that Gurudev's books, and they're much easier to understand too. Can you answer this?
I hope so. So the question is that whether it's the 70s or now, Prabhupada's books are still here. So some of the devotees are saying that Prabhupada's books are much cheaper, and which is fact, and easier to understand. So therefore, why distribute Gurudev's books? Why not just distribute Prabhupada's books? Is that the question?
Yeah, very much.
Okay. So one answer is that Gurudev does want us to distribute Prabhupada's books along with his own books. The second thing is that, again, we'll bring up the Ganga Matas. One of the leaders there, Sita, told Gurudev, oh, now we're distributing your big books now, Gurudev. And Gurudev said, yes, that's good, but distribute a small book with the big books, too, as introductory. So then I asked him at the airport, New Zealand or Fiji, I forget, that some devotees say they might as well be reading Chinese if they're going to read your books, because there's so much Sanskrit in them, and people can't understand them. So Gurudev said, no, all my books are for all people. And then Madhav Maharaj said, all for all. Gurudev had said this so many times. And then Gurudev said, yes, all for all. And then I gave one other objection, playing the devil's advocate. And Gurudev said, I said, but how are they going to understand it? Gurudev said, no harm. If they take a book, then my purpose is fulfilled. Somebody else, the book may not be meant for that person. It may be meant for somebody else. So somebody who has the Sukritis will get them, and the books will give Sukritis to those who don't have. As Prabhupada used to say, even if they read one line, remember? One word. You know Yasodhananda Prabhu? Yasodhananda Prabhu is your godbrother, those of you who are Gurudev's disciples, Dikshita disciples. And he is one of the biggest donors. Maybe he is the biggest, next to Radhakanta Prabhu. Biggest donors to Gurudev's projects. And he has a big, giant industry that he's in charge of. He's also on the Bhakti Trust, which is Gurudev's big, trustworthy, big management, protecting all of his intellectual properties and his temples and all the legal things. So how did he come to Gurudev? He got a book. He just read a few words. He began to weep. And then he looked for some address. He called up or wrote to the email, got Pudara Prabhu, and that was it. It didn't matter if he understood it intellectually, because who's ever ready, that it will affect their heart. Yes.
In relation with that Gurudev books could be more expensive.
Oh yeah, we'll get to that.
Because that's a good point. I wanted to add that Gurudev is so merciful that you can get all Gurudev books from internet. You download them, you copy them, and you can distribute to people. You pay for the...
Well, the printing costs a lot of money these days in the Xerox store. That would cost a lot of money too, and it wouldn't look like a professional book.
Another way is you can say, go there, they are free, and if they can download it and pay for that. You know?
Yeah, to use the intelligence. Yes?
I just want to say there is some danger, I think, if you only distribute Prabhupada's books and don't talk about the fact that there's a person who's alive now who's on the same level, because if those people become interested in that book, they've got all the addresses and phone numbers of the ISKCON temples, they may join up in ISKCON, hear negative propaganda about Gurudev, and never have the desire to have his darshan, and, so it could lead to that type of situation.
Of course, there are a lot of Prabhupada's books that don't have the addresses in it, but still it will lead to that if we don't give them the place that Prabhupada wants them to go. Very good. Yes?
That kind of leads to the point in regards
louder?
In regards to preaching, when someone is coming and you're cultivating them slowly, one thing that I think happens, at least with maybe my generation, is it starts to feel sometimes very energy draining if you become attached to what you want as that preaching. Like if you see something with someone and you have to put a lot of energy into cultivating that, and then you start to feel drained, especially because there's a lack of places to send people and a lack of a maintenance system.
So you have to be the maintainer. And it becomes draining. Can anybody answer her question?
What's the question?
The question is, she's speaking for her young generation, and when they meet people and try to cultivate them, because there's not a place for them to go to, she becomes the place. And it's very draining. You know how it is to take so many, as Prabhupada said, so many pounds of blood? Gallons of blood to make a devotee. So it's draining, so how to not have it be draining? Because you get attached once you start with somebody, you want them to be a devotee. Anybody give an answer? Otherwise, I will. Answer?
Well, one thing is, I mean, wherever devotees are, there should always be like Namahata programs, you know, once a week, twice a week, whatever. Programs going on that they should be able to go to. And otherwise, there's Gurudev festivals, otherwise, there's parties, and so many things going on. There's unlimited sadhu sangha.
You can connect them with the Hare Katha mailing list, and then if they're draining, you can forget them. And Hare Katha will never forget them. There's sangha space. So many devotees have come to the movement through sangha space. They're just non devotees, but they see a bunch of friendly people. And because of their secretes from past lives, they connect and then they look for new friends on Sangha Space, and so much development has happened from that. You can send them to Pure Bhakti TV. They can sit in front of their computer all day and watch Gurudev's movies and listen to his audios. You can send them to Pure Bhakti.com, Pure Bhakti TV. In your city, there's lots of devotees, and they should be having programs regularly. And you can introduce them to all the other devotees and ask all the other devotees to help them so that it's a shared thing, like a joint family. And we know not to be attached to anybody. So don't, in all circumstances, whether it's family or new people or friends, we make our life in such a way that we don't get attached. Can I do a little book distribution on you guys? And then we'll talk about the high pricing of Rudy's books. It's the world of virtual. It's the virtual time.
That's not enough, really, though. I mean, what she's saying is that there's no place to go. There's no, like...
They need personal also.
Like a general place, like...
personal relationship, because that's what touches, the only thing that can really touch people is that natural, real.
You're in the Bay Area? There's at least 50, 60 devotees in the Bay Area. Raghunath Bhatta just moved there, and Gurudev ordered him, against his will, forced him to become the temple president there. And his wife is the first lady. So, and then you have so many nice devotees. Ranga Devi is there. Send them to her house.
Yeah, but the people, send the them to people don't feel comfortable going to like somebody's house. And that's the whole point with the Bay Area problem, is that it's the house in the middle of the suburb where people don't want to go there. Yeah. They feel uncomfortable.
Like,
they feel weird.
Nobody wants to be preached to. That's why when people do kirtan presentations, they are in the
process. That's very good. That's a very good point. Nobody should preach. Nobody in this room should preach. We should share, teach, give love. Okay, share, preach, give love. No preaching anymore. Okay?
Sharing and caring.
Sharing and caring, teaching and loving and giving. Okay, is that alright? But in the meantime, you could also tell them that we'll go to your house and they can bring their friends. Or they can have a thing at a program at their friend's house. And bring some more friends, and that's called Namhat. Yes? Sachinandan Guru?
I was just saying they could do
it.
There's a question in the back there, it's been for a long time over there.
Okay.
Where's
the bridge line? Yes?
I think we really need to pray.
Good.
There it is. God and Gurudev Society and all the Vaishnavas can come together and serve the mission of Lord Chaitanya, because we are one movement. And if we can work together, then these devotees can come to ISKCON temples. And there's so much service to do. Prabhupada has established beautiful deities all over the world, and there are three or four devotees trying to maintain the worship. So ISKCON has to change their attitude, and here we need to change our attitude, and we need to work together. Lord Chaitanya wants us to inundate the world, and at the same time to show, you know, here we're worshiping the deity, we're getting along, we know how to respect each other. So I think if we can really work hard to push to this higher consciousness, then all the problems are solved, and we can all preach. There's so many people out there. We don't need to worry about you're taking our devotees or you're taking my devotees.
Yeah,
you know,
very good.
We have so much to give, you know. If we work together, we can give so much.
True, thank you. Yes.
The point someone was saying about so much Sanskrit in the books, and I mean, why not make the books more reader friendly anyway to get the translation of the Sanskrit words? And I don't think there's any harm in that. After all, Gurudev's giving lectures, he's asking various sannyasis to explain, and he says, no, explain more clearly. So what's wrong with explaining more clearly some Sanskrit words in the book? You know?
Yeah, she's making a good point that books could be more reader-friendly, and more books are being more reader-friendly, but in the meantime, whatever books we have, they still have the power. That even if, yes, go ahead.
When I was 15, I was given one of Prabhupada's books on series, the Bhagavatam Second Canto.
Right.
I couldn't read more than three lines without giving up. It's just like, what is this? But I kept it on my shelf, and I knew somehow or other this is some secret, special thing. And I always kept it. And maybe it gave me security too, but it was something very special. I couldn't understand a dang thing. So people saying that Gurudev's books are more harder than Prabhupada's books, well, it doesn't really matter if you can't understand. I couldn't understand a word of Prabhupada's books, you know what I'm saying? So the thing is, there was something...
It's for the soul more than the body.
But there's no harm to me.
No, their devotees are doing that.
Yeah.
And you can also help in doing that. So, yes, Lalit Saki.
Just as a practical suggestion to everyone here, my husband and I made up some personal cards with our names and phone number and a little description of the Hare Krishna mantra. And then we have purebhakti.com on the bottom. So everyone I meet, I'm at the store, in the airplane, gas station, and then I give it to them and explain a little bit. And if they seem a little more interested, then I just give you a book. So it's a really nice way of, that way, you know, you're giving everyone you meet. Lord Chaitanya says, everyone we meet, we should give them something.
I'll take one now because I was going to do the same thing in New Zealand.
I'll take a sample. I just want to say, just for 1 second, that I'd like to do a little book distribution myself. So, just in this class, and it's not happening out of this class. Okay. At the table, you'll get this for $20, but here you'll get it for $7. If you come at the end of the class. But not now, at the end of the class. This you'll get at the table for $150. Here you'll get it for
$100. What is it?
This is Isha's... Gurudev's Universe. This has 3,000 or so audio lectures of Gurudev and about 500 movies of Gurudev. And this also makes the best present for all occasions. And you can just give any one to your friend and say, Radhika, and ask him to spend a day with this also, besides giving you a personal love. Huh? Isha's here, so you can talk to him.
We'll ask him. Computer.
Plays on computer. Okay, well, Isha's here, so...
We can talk to him.
We can talk to Isha here. He's the source of this. So that's that. $100 just from this class. And these calendars, of course, are a little late. So I forget how much they're selling from...
Oh, at the table?
At the table, like $10, and here, $2. And these also make good gifts. And Pravandavali is also coming to the class in a few minutes.
No,
$2.
They can't
find
it. $2 at the book table. Pravandavali is $2 at the book table.
$2 at the book table. At the book table, if you say that you heard it in class. And so that's just for after class. So now we'll continue. Achyuta Krishna Prabhu?
So, would you recommend that you would bring a new aspiring devotee to an ISKCON temple, or would you recommend that you would not, if that was your only source of bringing them to that situation of, you know, devotees having kirtan, seeing the deities, feeling that whole vibe? Because there's a lot of potency even in the ISKCON devotees. I love it, you know, myself. But there is that risk of some confusion and, you know, misconception. So what? How do you balance that time, place, and circumstance?
Okay, so Achyuta Krishna Prabhu is asking, would I bring some new person to the ISKCON temple, since there is a, what's happening? Since there is a risk of having them hear something bad about Gurudev. That's the question?
Right.
Well, that's a difficult question to answer. It's only difficult because I want to be respectful to everybody. But if I was alone with you, I would say that I probably wouldn't because of that risk. There are so many sincere devotees in the ISKCON temples, but because I want them to come to Gurudev so that they can get Prabhupada in his full completeness, I wouldn't want to put them in a risky situation where they hear in the classes not to go to Gurudev and their GBC tells them not to go to Gurudev and the poor devotees don't know what's going on but they're just repeating something that their leaders have told them without seeing for themselves and those people will tell the new person something. So for that reason I would hesitate. But then it's our obligation until, as you said, the situation changes and they're going to be respectful to Gurudev. I personally wouldn't go to a place where my Gurudev wasn't allowed. does that answer?
But you want to feel Prabhupada's mercy that's so present in these temples, despite what these people, anybody's doing. Prabhupada's mercy is very thick there still, in my
That's definitely true, yes, that's definitely true.
Isn't it also the
the individual, like, if they have sincerity, that they would just know that, okay, this is not, this may not be exactly right, but what they're saying, but I'm still feeling something great here.
Sure.
You could still definitely see past that. You know? So is it worth missing out on that opportunity to feel that Srila Prabhupada's mercy because of the risk? It's a very confusing thing.
It's a very tricky, and it may depend on the circumstance. If you have an alternative, then we have an alternative. If there's no alternative, you might want to take the person there and then explain how Gurudev is Prabhupada's successor and how Prabhupada took Gurudev's hand in his own hand and please take care of my devotees.
But some of them may not, you're right.
Yes, is that an answer? Yeah, okay, this is a response.
Yeah, it's my duty to share this, even though it's not very pleasant. There was a devotee who was traveling around the country doing Sankirtan by himself, and he was in Houston. We were driving through the city. We saw him, and so we went and he said, yeah, I'll do Sankirtan with you. So we did Sankirtan, distributed books, and afterwards, on the way back on the bus, he was on going the same direction, and the whole time I was explaining Jiva Dharma to him, and he was just drinking with his ears. And so we were going to go back to the ashram. I said, we'd like to come back and take some prasadam. So he said, yeah. So he came back to the ashram. He got a Jiva Dharma. We served him with all Vaishnava etiquette, and even we had some other responsibilities. But that evening, we went out of our way to bring him back to the ISKCON temple where he was staying. And the course of the whole way, I was just telling him about the beautiful glories of Sadhu Sangha, and was not saying anything detrimental against his own chosen spiritual path. But what ended up happening was that the leaders of the ISKCON temple were told that there was blasphemy by me against the ISKCON leaders, and that as a result, we were criticized. Armat was shown as to being trying to steal their devotees. And so it's unpleasant, but I feel it's my duty to say that and hope that Shyamani can shed light on the reality of actually interfacing with ISKCON and their devotees.
There's nothing to shed. You already shed it. You shed everything. No, you shed everything. Nothing more to shed. Yes. Shilokan asked you.
Let you
know that I join
all the devotees
and wish him a very happy birthday. 12 and a half today. Any last question or comment? Yes.
Wait.
Okay, thanks.
I have two comments that maybe give some hope.
Okay.
One is that
we need hope.
I have two comments that may give some hope for those devotees that are concerned about preaching to, you know, books, you know, how to preach to somebody or what books to give to someone that's completely, completely new and just can't deal with the Sanskrit, or maybe they're not able to follow up to go and help explain things to them, whatever. Anyway, Gopavindapal, pretty soon will be coming out with a book that we should just pray that he finally gets published. He's working on the last chapter. I was talking with about it because I'm married to someone who is not a devotee, and I've been waiting 20 years to try to get him to take those steps, and he's slowly taking them, and he's here, and he's very much appreciating through the Gurudev and the devotees. But this book, as Gopa explained, he said it's tiny baby step by tiny baby step. I mean, it's like if anybody has any intelligence, and you take them systematically, logically, one step, oh yes, I can accept that. Next step, yes, I can accept that. Third step, logically, they can finally, and so that's what Scope is doing. And that's what he's
still making the book?
Yes. It's just his editors told him that he made some, he skipped some steps. And so he had to add another chapter. And that's the only thing that's delayed it, because he was ready to publish. And then the other thing is, I was talking with Padmanabh Swami, and he says that there is some overtures between Srila Narayana Maharaj, between us and between ISKCON, to try to, and he's sort of one of the main people that's trying to spearhead that. And but as Gurudev said, this is what Padmanabha Swami told me, he said, we don't need them, they need us. And they have to, you know, make some apology, but there is some major endeavor going on there.
Thank you. And regarding the very new people book, there's also the Florida Veda College of Mahabodhi Prabhu who's here. He and Nani Maharaj and Buddhara Prabhu are developing systematic education of not preaching but teaching. So you might want to talk to Mahabodhi Prabhu about that, and that may help your people out there in the world. I know there are so many devotees who have so many good things to say, and the time is running out and breakfast is coming, so can anybody tell us what to do?
You didn't mention the price difference.
Huh?
Can we distribute Prabhupada's books because they're less expensive and put like a stamp of
Oh, that's right. That's a very good point. I forgot to say that. Well, we neglected to complete that discussion of the prices of Gurudev's books. The reason that Prabhupada's books are so inexpensive is because they print them in the hundreds of thousands, and we're lucky, I mean, 5,000 is a big print run for us. So the more the books are distributed, the more Visvambar, Anita, and people like them of the GVP on the printing side will be enthusiastic to print more, knowing that more are going out. Another thing is that the GVP is now developing a sponsorship program of some devotees don't have the inclination to preach, but they have a lot of money and they want to see the preaching done. So they'll be giving the money, and then we're developing, Mahashakti Prabhu just got blessings from Gurudev today to start the marketing aspect of the GVP, that is the book rack program that ISKCON VBT does, putting Gurudev's books for free in book racks and at various stores and yoga clubs. That's just going to be starting, and the prison programs and the old age home programs. So you can see Mahashakti Prabhu, who just left probably, or Visvambar Prabhu about that, if you'd like to participate. So many things are just starting, but in the meantime, we do have a ton of Gurudev's books that are expensive. So we can get sponsors, or we can just beg Visvambar and Radha, or some way or other, get the books for free, cheap, or give them out and give them out cheap. Ask a friend of yours to put in some of his paycheck, or now Visvambar has a program of giving 75% off on all books because they want to be able to print new books with more people-friendly covers. So they're distributing all the books they had for 75% off. So look for the deals. And there are a lot of deals out there. And then the more we grow and the more distribution there is, because they also get discouraged because they print even 5,000 and then they don't get distributed. So then they'll do the next print run of 2,000 and make it even more expensive, so that they don't have to have books in the warehouse. So we also play a part in reducing the cost of the books. And the sponsorship will be a big thing in reducing the cost of the books.
Do you want to say something?
Yeah, I want to say something. Today, after this, and then throughout the day here by the book table, any of you that do book distribution of any kind, if it's just one book a week or one book a month, if you're willing to come and speak before the camera, we're doing interviews, and then we're going to put edited versions of it online to encourage people around the world to do book distribution.
We have a new, thank you. Anita is indicating that we have a new book distribution website, and that will be launched in about 2 months or earlier. And in there, she's saying that if any of you have two books at all, preach and do books in any way, like for example, Gurangi Didi, she works in a beauty parlor and she cuts people's hair. And she gives out books to people that she cuts hair to. So we did a little film clip on her, and that's going to go on the book distribution website. Another devotee in Australia is a taxi cab driver, and he gives out books. They give him, he preaches to them, during the trip, and then they give him a tip, and then he gives them a free book that they just paid for with the tip. So, what did you say? Where should they meet you?
I'll probably be by the book table.
Okay, well, even if it's not quiet, it's good to do the whole filming and the excitement of, especially tonight, like talking to Radhika as she's trying to serve 10 devotees getting their books, and all that excitement. We can do the quiet time and the exciting time.
Can I speak something?
Yeah.
I just want to say my experience with distributing books. And when we don't use our personality at all, and know the third part of us is guiding everyone and just not judging a person he will understand or not understand because it's high topic of book. It's just using not our will, it's just Guruji will definitely work so beautiful because person can see just the painting on Radha and Krishna, and it's automatically because his eyes is automatically touch the sad part of us, of the person, and even one word the person can read and can transform his whole entire consciousness, because this is power of sadhu, not our personality. So I never use my personality to judge person. Even the beggar on the street can touch this book and is such an elevated person sitting on the street. So by seeing, they cry. Automatically they cry because this sad part is unconditional, it's unconditional love, and sadhu is, Guruji is like unconditional heart. So just reproducing, don't use your personality at all.
Thank you. And just to say that this is Mira, your god sister Mira. She's not just speaking, but she actually, all by herself, has a gigantic congregation of brand new people in Chicago. So she's not just saying, you should do this and you should do that. She's speaking from her
I am just like,
experience.
From my experience, I was using my judging, like, this person can read and this not. And because he looks ugly or he looks not intelligent and he not gonna understand Sanskrit, but it's completely bogus. It's completely bogus. The worst person would you think is because it's touching his sad part of his eyes. And those books, Way of Love, what Guruji is giving, is the vibration. Even touching this book is shit because it's vibration. And now I, you know, learn by my mistakes, and I'm sharing with you. Thank you. Jai Guru.
Okay, I just want to say one thing first because I got a note from Rama Devi, who's at the poster table, and she said she wanted to do the same discount for the Seva Kund and four laundries, the whole price for the whole set of the $25. That's a big, she wrote 30, but I'm going out to 25. For the prince, and I just want to say that even if everybody practically here has a already Seva Kund set, but they make the best presents for bar mitzvahs, anniversaries, births, birthdays, thank yous, cultivating people, housewarming, and the same new babies, and the same for the books. No. But what is his name for them?
I just wanted to make an announcement. We have an article about Bhakti art in Shamarani that we had some success putting in websites and New Age magazines in the United States. And if anyone would be interested in translating it, it's a pretty short article. Anyone could translate it into any language, Spanish, Russian, Hindi. Talk to me if anyone's interested.
Okay.
And then we'll try to distribute it in other parts of the world.
Okay, thank you. And we'll have to end.
Okay.
We'll end here, and anybody who wants to say something after, because everything in the material world has a beginning and an end. And then anybody who wants to speak, you can speak personally, and anybody who wants these books and calendars for slashed prices, come and get them. And CDs.
Sorry.
Thank you.